welcome back, everybody. It's time again for the Pedego Podcast as we ride along on the e-bike revolution with the entrepreneurs' drive in the movement and the love stories of those just riding along. All brought to you by Pedego Electric Bikes. And today, well, we've got an expert with us today here. We're in good hands here. An old radio veteran here from many years back here, Carly Sanfilippo. Did I say it right?
You did. You're one of the few. So thanks. It's good to be here on this side of the screen.
Yeah. You did college radio and some other things. Didn't you do all that stuff here?
Yes. And then I don't know if the listeners know, but I'm kind of on the back end of the Pedego Podcast, you know, coordinating the guests. And
you're the producer. Yeah.
So it's fun to be on this side. So thanks for having me.
Well, when you guys talked about this, about putting together a podcast, I said, it's got to be stories. And I thought, well, there can't be that many stories. You got a great product. You got a spectacular product. You were one of the early lead and still one of the leaders in the industry here. But it's a product. And like all products, there are some people love it and some people excited about it. You got people that are passionate about it. You got people that have changed their lives. And you've even given them a name. You've come to call these love stories, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. I don't even think I realized it until, you know, I kind of was a few months in when I first got hired. Cassidy, who we had him on the show as well, he's actually my superior, my boss. And he gave me a photo of this family that owns a store down in San Diego. And he's like, this is why we do it. And, you know, you'll realize it. But these people, whether it's the owners, like Pedego owners or dealers, they all have really remarkable stories. And, you know, I got the photo and I was like, okay, like this is cool, but I don't think I understood really until a few months down the line, got into the culture. And Pedego's a very, you know, and I'm not just saying this because,
Believe me, I kept doubting it week after week. Okay, come on, we got another love story. We got another, but it's changed their life. But there really is, there's something going on here.
There's something special. It's a really remarkable brand. And, you know, you've kind of referred to in past episodes, like, what other product can you get where you stop into the stores around the nation?
None.
Connect with the dealers. It's really, really unique and kind of something special to be a part of.
So I'm going to go to different Best Buy locations just because I bought my washer there. Hey, I don't live in the neighborhood. I live in California, and this is Ohio. Just wanted to see how washer sales are going here in Ohio. They'd look at me like I was nuts.
But Pedego dealers will, you know, welcome you with open arms. So super, super unique.
So let's talk about this culture that I'm still amazed at. I'm still in awe and wonder. Who knew that there were that many people waiting to get back on a bike? That seems to be, you know, one big group that reacts to your product. These are people my age, aging baby boomers, haven't been on a bike since they were a kid, or maybe they rode in their 30s when they were really fit and healthy, but somewhere along the way, their knee hurt, their back ached, there was a problem, and they gave up. That was for kids. And as William Shatner, of all people, the man who shot himself into space here, the real-life Captain Kirk, who really went up to space in real life, talked about on this show how getting back on a bike, he was active, he rode motorcycles, he rode horses, a famous horse owner and competitive horse breeder and stuff. He said, I need a little help. You know, he's 90, and at some point, the obstacles overwhelm you, overcome your desire to get out there. As Don even said in the very first episode, he loved going down the bike to the beach. He didn't like riding back up the hill. Is that what it is? It's the obstacle eliminator?
I think so, and, you know, we've talked about it a lot on the show as well, as an electric bike is kind of like the equalizer for
yes.
all.
Right.
And, you know, whether no matter your age or your physical ability, it kind of gives everyone the same level playing field. And, you know, we've had a few guests on here, and it's such as Dr. Feelgood or Tom Zanotti from Chicago. Just It amazes me, these people that may have, you know, developed these ailments over time, and just the fact that, you know, an electric bike can just allow them to literally go the distance.
Right.
Is just something really, really unique.
And not just go the distance to get back on the horse, so to speak, to use Shatner's analogy here, to get up and ride again, to get out again. You gave two great examples. I mean, talk about moving stories. Go back and play either one of those. This woman that everybody kiddingly calls Dr. Feelgood, she was a doctor who had a terrible car accident and 20-some surgeries later couldn't even ride in a car. She had to lay in the back of a van as her husband tried to take her to work, as she tried to continue to work. And she had to stand all day and found a way to get back out through the exercise of being on a bike, but again, needed the extra help because she couldn't ride and hardly walk or anything. The electric bike got her out and active again to the point where she's now riding 100 miles. She's riding not just to work and back, she's riding through national parks and other sorts of things. She's going down and advocating to her local zoning board to try and add more bike lanes and get. She's a fanatic about this.
Absolutely. For those that don't know, her name is actually Miriam Lieberman, and she is just the sweetest person ever. She's very active on, we have a Pedego owners group, and she's always sharing the adventures she's going on with her husband, and they travel everywhere with their Pedegos. So to think, like you said, that she was unable to even sit in a car, and now she's riding hundreds of miles a month is just
unbelievable. Unbelievable. The one that was on just this past week, this guy decided he had been a professional negotiator. He's semi-retired. He wants to lose some weight. He wants to live this last phase of life healthier, happier, more active than maybe he had in a while. And he made this determination to get back out. And for him, the electric bike was the wasn't just the equalizer. It was the eliminator of the excuses. Oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't go very far. I can't do this. So it got him out active again. And now this guy is riding, I think he rode 30,000 miles in 30 months. This is crazy.
It's incredible. Yeah, I think, he said 10,000 miles in 1 year. He wanted to beat it, so it was 11,000. And then who knows what he'll do this year. But I will say, and I can attest to this, once you get on an e-bike, it does get addicting. You can go farther, you can ride longer, and you know, the pedal assist and the throttle just allow you to do so, but it's much more of an enjoyable experience. And I think that's why so many people like to ride, you know, commute to work multiple miles or ride long distances.
Well, let's break that down, because I see these common threads coming through this. One is just to get back on the bike again, back on the horse again, get out active and not to give up on life. And there was certainly lots of stories like that other poor gentleman that, I say poor, he's living a happier, wilder life than I am, but he, again, had a car accident earlier on. The guy that does birding and biking now, that's his big passion and outside of suburban Chicago here. And for him, the electric bike allows him not just to get up and out, but to go places he would never otherwise go. He goes to these remote places looking for birds. He rides trails of taking in the Midwest, these old railroad tracks, and turning them into bike trails and walking trails. And he's ridden all the way up Lake Michigan and down the Mississippi River and all sorts of places. This is a guy that could barely walk.
Exactly. And you would think if they were on an electric bike, or if he wasn't on an electric bike, only a very, very dedicated, avid cyclist would be able to do, you know, go those routes on an acoustic bicycle. So, yeah.
You guys came this term, an acoustic. What a cool idea. I'm an old rock and roller. I'm an old hippie here. Yeah, so I could play the acoustic guitar. I could play the electric plugged-in version here. So I remember when Bob Dylan went electric and it shocked the world in the 60s, you know. And you guys, and it's been some of that reaction in the traditional biking community. Like, who are these electrified bike owners here? They are kind of corrupting the purity of this whole thing here somehow. It's cheating. And yet, how can you call it anything other than a miracle when you get people up on a bike and out that active again here?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not, you know, an avid traditional cyclist myself, but in my own opinion, they're two completely different categories.
Yeah.
You know, as an e-bike company, you know, we really promote fun. And being out there with your, you know, obviously our tagline is Hello Fun.
Yeah.
So being out there, being able to be out there with your family or friends and just being able to go the distance rather than having to worry, like, about the person that's going fastest in the front.
And everybody can go the distance. Like Shatner said, his grandkids and he can ride along on something. They can't do many things together anymore here. He can only go so fast and they can do other things. Everybody's got something they can ride along. It is the great equalizer. It is the great excuse eliminator. It does get you back out, but it gets you going further. That's the other thing that amazes you. You had like this people on the, they call themselves the wanderpreneurs. part of this other gypsy breed of people that decided during COVID, you know what, if I'm going to stay home, if I'm going to educate my kids from home, then home can be on the road. Home can be anywhere. And they put their home in a RV, and they're not sure they're ever coming really home. Home is on the road. And so for them, it's not a chance to get out into the world and go see the country, but to then go further with their e-bikes. And talk about that, how it seems to extend your range. It's not only gets you out, it gets you going further than you ever thought.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Wonderpreneurs, we kind of met them at the beginning of the year. Dawn met them at the Courtside RV show, and, you know, we brought them in. I met them in person. They are just like the nicest family ever. And
cool exactly, couple, yeah.
A lot of these e-bikes, so they're traveling the country as is.
With their kids. Said, this isn't just some old couple. This is a fairly young couple with young kids,
exactly.
Yeah.
They wanted the e-bikes to take that extra step and go into those national parks and go into those kind of hidden places that you can't necessarily take, you know, your RV or your van. So like you said, it's allowing them to take that extra step and just adventure even more.
Well, the guy that does the birding, again, to go back to that one, he said it wasn't, yes, it gets him out and active, and he's not home, you know, in pain. He's moving, he's grooving, he's going. But he gets to go places he would never otherwise go, way off the trail. Because normally, even at his, you know, he's not 20 anymore. So at his age, at anything past 20, you start saying, oh, I better not go down there. I won't get back up. I better not go that far. And you start to get into, I think that's what killed biking for me. I was just kind of doing the same route over and over again because I had the safe route. And I might as well have been on a track, or I might as well have been home on a stationary bike. And then pretty soon it's kind of boring and doing. I'll give you another example of going farther. The guy who's your dealer in, what was he? He was a colonel in the Air Force in London at the American Embassy. Traffic apparently is a nightmare in London. So just for laughs, he got an e-bike. Because it allowed him to, he was far enough away he needed some help. He wasn't a block away, he was kilometers away here. And it allowed him to cut through traffic. And all of a sudden, he's seeing parts of the city he would never see. The flower shops, the Penny Lane, Beatles kind of image of London here, the pubs and stuff here. And it became a passion for him, so much so that he quit the Air Force and retired and became a dealer for you guys here.
Absolutely. That's Aaron Maynard out of Myrtle Beach.
Right.
So I just had the pleasure of meeting him in person last week at our dealer conference. But pretty remarkable. Exactly. You just get to see things that you wouldn't normally get to see.
Right. The wind in your face, the smell, the taste. You're in the environment. You're not just looking through the windshield.
Absolutely. And something that, you know, I kind of want to touch on as well, that since you opened the door for me, it's pretty remarkable.
I'm amazed. I don't understand this whole thing. So explain it to me.
The history of our dealers. You know, Aaron has a very unique story, along with a lot of our dealers, where this is...
Almost, you know, all your dealers have these amazing... I was a Wall Street broker. I was an airline pilot. The other guy was on a commercial airline pilot. I was... Yeah, wild stories as they're sort of second act careers, reimagining themselves in the second stage of living here.
It's incredible. That's the one word I can just compass it all. It's really incredible.
And I always say to them, I don't understand this. You were, what, literally, that one couple was, weren't they like Wall Street bond brokers or something like that?
That's Fort Myers, Lisa and Skip out of Fort Myers.
There you go. And then there was the guy, another one whose name escapes me, who was the commercial airline pilot.
That's Grego.
Grego, yes. How could I figure? He calls himself Grego. And then you've got a couple of pro golfers, former pro golfers, like your dealer in La Quinta and the other one in whatever.
McDowell Mountain.
Yeah. And all of these people, I said, come on, you're doing major, amazing, huge things. You're a little local store owner and people ride by and say, hey, Paul, how you doing today? They said, we love it. We love it. And I said, why? And he said, have you ever watched somebody get on a bike? I said, I guess not. I haven't sat at the store like you did. And they all talk about the countdown. Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There it is. There's the smile. Or there's the ooh, ooh. And they get a little pedal assist. There is some joy of that comes from putting people on a bike and then having them come back over and over again and say, I just want to hang out. In fact, can we all ride together? Let's go on rides this Saturday and stuff. It becomes a community. It's the opposite of what most of these people had done. They'd built major careers, but they weren't part of a little local community like that.
Absolutely. And, you know, going back to that feeling once they get on the bike, that undeniable smile. I mean, I'm going to ask you, because you hadn't rode a Pedego until you came. We were doing an event
at
Irwindale Speedway, me and some of the tech team, and that was the first time you got on the bike. So can you attest to the smile?
I felt like a little kid. I was with my grandson, my seven-year-old grandson. And he didn't ride. He sort of looked at me like, what is this thing here? And I jumped on it, and I started riding it. And I thought, okay, good. I can still ride a bike. It'd probably been years since I'd even ridden a bike. And then the minute I hit that little power assist, that little throttle, I said, wee. I thought I was six again. I went, wee. And I looked at myself, did anybody see that? It's so embarrassing. I can't believe. I said out loud, wee. There is something wee wonderful about that feeling. I almost felt like the kid with the little, what we used to put the streamers in it. And we're going so fast, the streamers are flying, you know. And there's something about that feeling that I had forgotten. It was very childlike.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Kind of reverts you back, not only physically, but kind of, you know, psychologically to those childlike, incredibly fun time.
And again, I'll go back to one thing I hit earlier, just because I think it fits again. It seems a together thing more than I remember biking to be. When I was a kid, it was a together thing. The pack, my crew, my crowd, my buddies, we got on the bike and we explored. And that was the days your parents would just open the door and you didn't have to come home till dinner time. And you were down in the woods. I lived in suburbia, so you know we'd ride down in the woods or all over the place. For miles we'd go. Now we're terrified to let our kids go that far. But in those days, you know, it was that world, and we felt safe, whether we were or not. So we were on an adventure, and we were on it together. But later, when I rode bikes, I did have bikes in my 30s, and it was a great exercise, and I did it to endurance. How far could I go? How much could I push myself? I'd get up in the morning, or I'd do it at night or something. But I mostly did it myself. Yeah. It was like a stationary bike. I'm just trying to log the miles in. I'm just trying to knock it off. And that's why eventually it did hurt and it didn't feel fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, as you mentioned, it's definitely a togetherness, whether it's friends, family, or our stores put together Pog Rides, Pedego Owners Group Rides.
Pog Rides. It is like, you guys all have, do you have secret handshakes and stuff when you pass each other? It's kind of like the Harley riders. My old buddies were all aging baby boomers. That's their fantasy, a bunch of them own Harleys, and they go out and ride like they're, you know, born to be wild again here. You know, we're all easy rider again. You know, these are guys that are corporate executives, and they're riding like their kids again here. Or the Jeep owners that go off trail and stuff here. It has that feeling to it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So like I said, stores will organize their own Pog Rides and get people together within the community. They'll plan a set day or time. Also, we did our first ever Hello Fun Tour last year where we took...
Hello Fun Tour. You're like, again, we're rock and roll, acoustic guitars, electric guitars. You're out there, rock stars, and these people respond and ride along. I went to one of them. You and I said, I can't believe this. Come on. This here in Southern California, you know, nobody goes anywhere except in a car. This is a car culture, right? You want to go to the store, you get in the car. You don't go just walk to the store or ride to the store to bike. And yet you went to a Huntington Beach Air Show, big cool thing here in near both of us. And I show up in my car and with my grandson again, and there's, I don't know, a couple hundred people in bikes who have all ridden to this event and then are going to all ride home and stop at the pub or stop at the restaurant or whatever. This is crazy.
Yeah, it really is remarkable. And we have very passionate customers. So this Hello Fun Tour, we went all throughout the nation, and we are going to continue it next year. And we had people, especially down in Florida, we had a couple of people that would stop at each store.
It's like the riding along on the Rolling Stones tour or something here.
Yeah. For lack of a better term, it's our Pedego groupies, you know?
Yeah, right. And it's a tour. And it's the Grateful Dead, following the dead across the country here, like when I was a kid, you know? And we'd go from concert to concert. And then there was a community of like-minded people, and we partied, and we hung out, and we bonded, and we were all one. It's a tribe. It's who knew? You're not just getting people out and active again. You're creating a connection in a community that's unlike any other. I can't imagine... I know there are lots of other electric bikes out there. I shouldn't say that, but I don't know of any that have this kind of dedicated community. A few, if they do, because they're just selling products over the internet and stuff. They don't have, I think part of it is not just the approach that you guys bring to it, but the fact that you do have local dealers who service it and facilitate this and ride along. I think that's a big part of it. I don't think anybody else does that, do they?
I mean, I would give all, you know, that's just a testament to Pedego, and I would give all credit to Don on that, because, you know, he's just built an incredible brand ever since, you know.
He wanted it to be an experience. It started with his own experience, his own need, his own itch that he wanted to scratch, and his own friends, and he lives down by the beach and wanted to go down to the beach and back and didn't want to go up the hill. And then he tried selling a few of himself, and he said, once I saw it, I started to see it. This wasn't just me. There's a community of people who want to get out, want to get active, and want to do something together. Yeah, well, I don't see a lot of that. The other one that surprised me, and there's so many things that have surprised me in this journey so far, is weight loss. Now, I would think everybody would say, okay, weight loss, yeah, it's an electric bike. I'm not going to lose that much weight. People are pedaling these things and losing weight. The dealer that you had, and many of the people who are becoming your dealers are because they went through their own epiphany, their own massive weight loss later in life, and then they said, if this works for me, it's going to work for somebody. That's what sparked their passion. I'm thinking of the guy in Eugene. Wasn't he a banker or something?
Yeah, Mike Murphy. He was a former executive at a bank.
And he lost, I want to say, like 300 pounds or hundreds of pounds. He lost a lot of weight. Or he was 300 pounds, maybe, and he got down to something.
He was 300 pounds, and he lost well over 100.
Yeah.
But yet he was riding an e-bike to and from work, and kind of the same note as what Aaron said, it allowed him to see, you know, parts of Eugene that he, you know, hadn't visited or seen before from a car.
When he retired as a president or vice president, whatever he was, some big executive at a bank, he wasn't thinking about opening an e-bike store. But it was this passion of his own journey. If I can do this, I'm going to get other people to do this. And he became a passion advocate. He wasn't the only one. You had the guy from Summerlin. He's still got some high-powered event management business. He runs all over the country out of Vegas. But he admits, I like being on the couch. When I wasn't working, I was on the couch, and this got him up and active, and he lost a lot of weight, and that motivated him to open this as a second business. He has a big, thriving, multi-million-dollar business, and now he's opening multiple stores because of this passion.
Absolutely. He just opened his third store, you know, within a year. So, you know, kind of that journey and weight loss journey propelled him to take the dive into Pedego, and, you know, we're lucky to have all of these dealers as part of our family and to represent our brand throughout the country. And, you know, I feel lucky. I'm not just saying this. I do feel lucky to know them, because each of them, whether it's a dealer or a customer, anyone that we've had on the podcast has just such a unique story. And, you know, you and I have talked about this at length, that, you know, what other brand or
any kind of product you can name, and particularly in, you know, an industry that is mostly focused on gears and features and functions and stuff here. Mine's got more, and it's got X more of these gears and more things. That's the way I always saw bikes. I remember years ago, I told my quick story, I'll tell it quickly again, that when I wanted to get back on a bike, this was years ago, and I wanted to go out and ride for exercise, I was intimidated. I went to the local bike stop. I'm 40. And they made me feel like an old man. They're talking about, I don't even know what they're called, derailleurs and gears and stuff, and all these French terms and all this stuff. And I didn't know what the hell they're talking about. I just wanted a bike. Yeah. And they made me feel so stupid that I went down to Sears and bought a bike. Yeah. And it wasn't the best bike, but it, you know, nobody said much to me. I just walked in and said, sat on it, and I said, I'll take that one. They didn't intimidate. I didn't feel like it was just for a select few, and too many bike shops feel like that. It's an elite group of extreme athletes, and we're going to ride 100 miles, and we've got to have the special spandex gear, and you got to know all about the gears and the bikes and the things. And now we're going to add electricity to it and other things and batteries and other things. Oh, forget it. I think it would just overwhelm many people, particularly if you weren't, you were primary motivation was just to have fun again, or to get out again, or to lose some weight again. I don't need to know that much about it. You guys have taken that out of it. You got dealers who just get you on the bike. What is it? Butts on a bike. Let's just get you on the bike and see. Let's get you see if this works for you at all.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's an amazing experience. It really is. It's an experience, and it's a movement. That's why I really think this is an e-bike revolution. It is a movement of people who are moving again together at an age when you wouldn't think. I said to Shatner, you're 90. What the heck are you going to do next? This is 2 weeks before he flew into space.
Yeah.
I said, I'd love to see what comes next. He said, I do too. And he must have known without telling us that that's what he was thinking of doing here. Oh, wow. So where do you think it all goes? There's other avenues for this. I mean, certainly we could talk more in future episodes. I've also heard other unique practical uses for bikes, e-bikes. The guy down in Tucson that says he sells them to ranchers because they can go farther than they can with the horse. Getting rid of the second car, your dealer somewhere, and a couple of them have said, yeah, you know, we've ended up getting rid of a second car. What do I need a second car for? I'll ride the bike instead.
Absolutely. And that's something we're seeing more of as just the world as a whole becomes more electrified.
Yeah.
Air quotes. You know, we see people using them for food delivery service. You know, this is their means of transportation for their job. Or we've seen this kind of become more popular in the hunting industry.
Go deer hunting with an e-bike. Okay.
Yeah. So I think we're kind of just scratching the surface. You know, I've only been at Pedego for over a year, and just to see the growth and the popularity of electric bikes within that year has really been, you know, unexpected, but amazing to watch. So I'm excited to see.
If you haven't gotten it already, I am just get such a kick out of hosting this. I thank you for letting me do this here. I produce radio shows and podcasts at our station, OC Talk Radio, out of the University of California, Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center. Don had come in as a guest, and we started talking about these stories. I said, that would make a fascinating series to talk about the entrepreneurs driving this movement, the mom-and-pop entrepreneurs who are taking Don's visions and others and taking it in new heights, the new direction this is going in, people you wouldn't think who have ever been on a bike in 20 years and getting back on a bike, and other uses you're talking about, and then this community, this fanaticism, this it is like the 60s again. It's like this revolution. Let's power to the people. It has that feeling about it here. And then this communal aspect to it that I don't expect, which is the opposite of what we're experiencing everywhere. Not to get too political, but the rest of the world's getting divided and down to a tribe of one, my way or the highway. Here are people that are coming together again and moving and grooving and doing stuff. It's amazing to watch. I can't wait to see where this goes. I look forward to next year's episodes.
Yeah, and I'd like to say if anyone is interested in coming on the podcast to share your story, feel free to reach out to myself. You know, Paul and I are always looking for intriguing guests. So whether you're
it better be amazing, because we've had nothing but amazing journeys in here. So don't just say, yeah, I like my bike and I ride it once in a while. I'm sure there are people who do that. But you've got tons and tons of passionate people who are opening stores. Simon Sinek always says this in the great TED Talk he gives, you know, don't tell me what you do, tell me why you do it. You got a lot of whys, people who are very passionate about this, and you got a lot of people who are very passionate about the product and why they ride it and why they can't wait to tell the world about it. So I can't wait to share those stories. How do they reach you if they do want to get on the show?
If you would like to share your why on the podcast, you can email me at events@pedego.com. That's EVENTS at pedego.com, or you can reach out to us on our social media on Instagram through the Pedego corporate page directly. And then also, like we talked about, we're all about building community in these community events, so we will be continuing the Hello Fun Tour in 2022. So
what's it called? Double O Fun? Oh, geez.
No, Hello Fun.
Oh, Tour. Hello Fun. I thought Double O Fun. We're going to go back to the James Bond era here. Yeah.
The Hello Fun Tour will continue. So keep an eye out for dates. We may be coming to a city near you.
We got to do a show from there, one of these things, where there's one nearby. Because I just got to talk to some more of these people. Why are you here? And what are you? I was amazed that that day at the Huntington Beach Air Show. I'd like to see more of this. I think that's a world we haven't seen before. You're creating communities on the fly, and these people just are flying high. They can't wait to share their stories and get other people. The one dealer in Summerlin said he had opened a second store. I may get this wrong. It was like Old Boulder Babes or something. They gave themselves a nickname like that.
Bold Boulder Babes, something like that.
Something like that.
They travel around. to different Pedego stores and...
That's their thing. Some people go to different baseball stadiums across the country. Other people's dream is to visit all a couple hundred dealers across the country. And not just to stop into the store and say hi, but to connect locally with the crowd there. And I want to go, like, if I was going to go up to the ski resort, I'm going to go ski with you guys, or I'm going to ride with you guys here. Yeah, I want to get to know you.
Exactly. There's people that plan their vacations. Based around where
the stores
are located.
Oh, my goodness. Well, what am I laughing for? I wish I had that much fun in my life here. This is fun for me, and I enjoy these stories, and I look forward to telling more. Thank you for letting me ride along, and I invite everybody else to ride along, too, as we continue the journey here on the Pedego Podcast. The e-bike revolution as we ride along. We're going to talk to the entrepreneurs driving the movement, and the love stories, the amazing love stories of those just riding along. All powered by Pedego electric bikes. For more information or to check out more episodes, go to pedego.com, P-E-D-E-G-O, pedego.com.